Hello and welcome to the Ask Adam and Ryan show. My name is Adam. Welcome.
And my name is Ryan Sheehy, and this is a show where you have questions and we have answers. But before we get going on this week's questions, what's new, Adam?
Oh, man. Well, I was in Oklahoma last weekend, ran a marathon with a couple educator friends, Kath Nelson and Jay Posick. That was fun. Marathon number 29. And honestly, I am just been enjoying my time at home because my time at home is coming to an end. In a few weeks, man, I'm back on airplanes, back on the road for like 3 months straight. So oh, wow. It's been fun to be at home, man, and work on some writing projects that I've been trying to finish up. So yeah, how about you?
You know, just getting things done here at school, working hard, finishing the year strong.
How many weeks of school left?
I have no clue. I really count down the, don't do those countdowns.
Yeah,
but, I want to say we get out in June.
Okay.
June 5th.
Okay.
About a month yeah. left. Yeah. So, cool. We're in the middle of our state testing. So like all of you know, so much fun, to do. And so just, doing that and, teaching my class, for the college, teaching my credential class, which is, I'm having a blast doing that,
mm-hmm.
engaging in some awesome conversations with teacher candidates, which is always fun.
Yeah.
And, only 2 more weeks of, soccer.
Woo-hoo.
For the year. Yeah.
Hey, man.
So I know you said, you guys might be entering the dark side of playing soccer.
Yeah, we just, my daughter tried out for like it's like a light travel. It's not like an extended travel team, but she made it. She made the A team. So we were excited about that. And actually the coolest thing was we got an email from another parent that was at tryouts that my daughter, another girl was like freaking out and didn't want to do it. And the mom said that my daughter went up to her and said, "Hey, you're going to be okay. You're doing great." And kind of gave her a little pep talk.
Yeah.
So that actually made me more proud than anything else that she made the team. Just
yep.
knowing that your kid is doing good out there without you right behind them,
yeah.
which is, I know, our goal as parents to get them ready for the world without us, you know?
Super refreshing because we were at a tournament this weekend and we saw there was one kid from another team that was doing the same thing, just mm-hmm. like, you know, going up, helping kids up off the ground, patting them on the back. And, you know, it was a pretty competitive game and it was the finals and he was still taking that time to make sure, check on everybody, make sure they're okay. And I think one of the important things that we do as not only educators, but as people is we point those out to parents, you know? And so we were actually going in, we were tied, we went into penalty kicks. After double overtime and I walked over just to be next to the goal that they were shooting on. And I saw the parent of the kid that would have been a super good sport. And I went up to them and told them just how impressed I was with the behavior and the attitude of their child. And I think that goes a long way. And there's, we want to point that out. And I look at it, bring it back to education a little bit. We see that stuff happen all the time in our classrooms and we don't necessarily share that with their parents. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the key because once you have those conversations and you share those moments with parents, the parents, the way that they're going to look at you is going to be different. They're going to look at you and say, "Hey, you know what? This educator does see the good of my child, does see certain things and will give you the benefit of the doubt later on." So,
and it's so easy and so quick just to hop on the phone and make a quick phone call.
Well, and it makes you, and you as the person telling them, it makes you feel good. It makes you feel like, "Hey, you know what? There's still good in the world and we're doing some amazing things." So, let's
get started.
Yeah, let's get going.
Question number one, what's the one lesson you think all students should learn and why? Well, this is obviously a tough question because there are so many lessons that I think kids should learn, but you know, I'm going to go with problem solving. I really think that problem solving is the key to so many things in life. And just a really recent example, I was just doing some coding with my daughter's second grade class. And it's just so fun to see kids solve problems. They try to solve a problem. It doesn't work. They keep going and they solve the problem. And I'm always on my own two kids at home about this. They'll like look at me and say, "Well, what do I do, Dad?" And I say, "Figure it out." So the point is don't give your kids a crutch. Don't do for kids what they can do for themselves. And that problem solving piece, I just know is going to come so handy in life on so many different levels. And I just think it's one lesson that all kids should learn how to accomplish. And it's obviously a moving target. You don't just become a problem solver and then you're done. Mm-hmm. It's an evolution of that. And I think it's a good skill that adults a lot of adults don't have how to solve problems when you're in a bind.
For sure.
So that's my one lesson. Sure.
Obviously, you and I don't talk before we give our answers because I was going in that same kind of route. I was going with resilience.
Okay.
Because you know, too often kids get knocked down and they don't know how to get back up and keep pushing forward. And the same thing translates into adults. So going along the lines with problem solving, but really making sure that we're providing students that feedback, that quality feedback, to drive intrinsic motivation, because too often we motivate our kids with extrinsic things, with materials and this party, that party, or this good, that good. And I think there's a place for some of that, but without the quality feedback and the those purposeful conversations, the students are never going to have an intrinsic motivation inside to be resilient, to solve problems, to get back up when they get knocked down. And even as adults, we look around and so many people they do things for a prize, not necessarily doing things just because they want to solve and have that quest for knowledge. Mm-hmm. So definitely resilience would be one of the things that I was looking at.
Love it.
Question number two, what is the best lesson you've learned as a professional? How did that learning experience occur? I think I've had so many different lessons as a professional, and one of those things that I've really looked at is you always hear you got to go slow to go fast, and that's something that you know, as you're reading in books, you know, textbooks and those kind of things. Yeah, it sounds great, but when push comes to shove and you see something that needs to be fixed, I'm not someone that is going to sit around and wait for that to happen. I'm going to go in and address that and make sure that, hey, the learning is happening. The learning is moving forward. The quality of education for these kids is where we want it to be. I always look at it as if my child was in that class, what would I want to see? And, you know, some people look at that as a cliche kind of way to look at it, but it's a 100% true way that I look at it. I always tell people I'm wearing my dad hat, my teacher hat, and my principal hat at the same time. So really, if you see something that needs to be addressed, then go ahead and address it. And that learning experience has occurred in many different ways. And you know, one of the ways first time it happened, I was sitting in a meeting and I was having a conversation with a parent, and I totally agreed with their points. And then they asked, well, then why haven't you fixed it? Why haven't you looked at that? Why haven't you changed the process? And for me, if we can ask that of ourselves, then we should be changing the process. We should be looking at alternatives to it and pushing forward. So that's one of the best lessons that I've learned.
Yeah, for me, I would say I learned this a long time ago. And the lesson of this too shall pass. And I think that lesson is so important for not just educators, but for people, because I know as a young teacher, if there was something going on with a parent or a colleague or my principal or a student or whatever, I internalized it. And looking back, I mean, I still do that, but I did that because I cared, and I would lose sleep over it and be frustrated and worried. And then when I was a principal and I was the person in charge and there was nobody to kind of kick it up to, you know, a problem per se. I learned really quickly. I think like in my first couple of months as a brand new principal, like this too shall pass. It will go away. The thing will go away. Just stay true and stay confident and do what you know is best. And I think that's a good lesson for life too, that things come and go, and you could be in a bad situation in a bad spot, but just remember that this too shall pass. Question three, what helps you get through those tough days at work? Well, I know when I was a principal, I had a saying, I don't have bad days. I only have good days or great days. So I think just starting with that mindset is really important, because even on a really bad day, you're still having a great day, because I guarantee you, you had some positive interactions. And yes, we've all had some not so great days, of course, obviously. But I think when in doubt, I would always go to a kindergarten classroom, because kindergartners are just starting their educational journey, and they are bright-eyed and they are fun and they are exciting, and they ask you questions that no other grade level will ask you, because they have no filter, which is fun. And, you know, also just like, what other choice do you have to not have a good day? Because you're going to have tough days, but the kids expect you to be your best self. And so does the parents, and so does the community. And I totally understand that being an educator is hard, But when you just put a smile on your face and you you grind through and you hang out with kids, then that's how you get through those tough days at work.
For sure, yeah. And I like what you were saying about I have the days, your mindset, looking at that positive mindset. I think that goes a long way. Too often we bring our garbage from outside onto our campus, and that's never never going to lead to a positive day. So making sure that your mindset is right for what you're doing. And then, you know, looking at if that's not working for you, reflect on your why. Why are you there? Do real quick meditation on kind of like, hey, what's the reason? Why do I want to be here? What am I doing? And make that, obviously we don't have a lot of time as educators during our day, but we might have a 5-minute break. Kids are at recess. You know, you've gone to the bathroom, you have 5 minutes to go. Real quick, just a little recheck of, hey, why am I here? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And is this right for me? And just really think about that. And that will help with that mindset, kind of reframe it back into a positive for you. And yeah, like Adam said, you know, going to visit kids in classrooms. And, you know, as an elementary principal, I love getting into the TK and the kindergarten classrooms. But I also really enjoy getting into a fifth grade classroom and sitting down next to kids and working with them. Mm-hmm. I think that's key. And that's a practice that I did while I was in high school as well. You know, in high school, it was always fun to go visit the wood shop and grab a piece of wood and start interacting and working alongside with those students and getting into choir, just seeing the amazing things that are happening in our different elective classes is so much fun. So I think no matter where you are, no matter what level you are, bottom line is get with those kids that you serve. And look at it like that. Look at the kids that you serve, and how can you be part of their learning, the learning process, and have fun with it? Because if we're not having fun, why do we keep coming back each day?
Did you sing in the choir?
I tried to get quiet. Okay, that's not supposed to get out.
No, did you sing in the choir?
No, I didn't. Oh, really? Okay. No, I did sing in a choir when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
In church.
Yeah. Okay. I actually had a couple solos.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Future podcast episode.
It was like 5:30 p.m. mass. I think that was my that was my solo time.
That's a quiet mass, right? 5:30.
Yeah. Question number four. Who do you turn to for advice? For me, I have so many. I'm very fortunate. I feel like I have so many people that I can turn to for advice. Obviously, Adam and I talk very frequently, you know, for our podcast and just outside of that as well. You know, I look forward to my wife for advice. She knows things to say to me that when she says them to me, she's challenging me to go out and really push forward and look for those answers. I also have people on my staff that I like to go to and ask for advice. And then kind of outside of my school and outside of those relationships, I feel like I have an endless supply of PLN members that I can go to for advice. If I have a question about a certain thing, I will reach out to a different person. I'm very fortunate to be connected via social media with so many amazing educators and teachers out there that have really allowed me to get advice from so many different viewpoints. So I don't necessarily have one person, but I have a tribe of people. And for me, I'm always willing to talk to educators. I know Adam is as well. So reach out to us on Voxer if you ever do want to just have a check in, you need some advice, you have a question about something, reach out to us. We love to talk through it with people and just kind of let them know how we would have handled that and how we would move forward.
So I think it's important to reach out to people for advice, and it depends on what you're looking for advice on. And I think it's important for me to reach out to people who have a different viewpoint than me. Because if you just go to people that think like you, look like you, talk like you, walk like you, follow the same people like you, then you're going to be in an echo chamber and you're not really looking for advice. You're looking for validation.
Agreement. Yep.
So, you know, my wife is someone that thinks way different than me. So I go to her a lot for advice, but I think that's just, you know, we're not having just one person, obviously, again, my wife, because we live together and I see her every day and there's a reason we got married, but depending on what you're looking to do, someone that you know, maybe it's two people, someone that thinks like you and then someone that thinks totally different than you. Because I always try to think like an attorney. Any good attorney argues both sides of the argument. They just don't argue their side of the case because you have to be able to argue both sides. So I hope that makes sense. And that's kind of my process for looking for advice throughout my life and for different things.
Yeah, no, I think it's important, but it's also when you look at, you don't want people to have that same thought process, right? You want to be challenged. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the times I think in education, or in life, there are some people that just don't have the same beliefs as you, right? Yeah, and so you want to have that same set of core beliefs, but somebody who challenges you. I know the last admin team I was on, our meetings became too complacent because everybody agreed with each other. And when we went out to look for a new vice principal, we wanted somebody that was there, still there for the right reasons and mm-hmm. still had those core beliefs, but went about it in a different way that would challenge our thinking. Because like you said, I mean, I don't want agreement. I want to be challenged, but I also want to be done making sure it's being challenged for the right reasons.
Yeah. Last question. Since this is the end of Teacher Appreciation Week, who is one teacher that you have that you would like to thank? Well, I would say my dad, because my dad was a teacher and my teacher, but I'm not. So I would say I had a teacher in middle school, Mr. Corey, who was my seventh grade like core language arts teacher. And he just put things in perspective really well. And he said, I remember him saying, figure it out, solve the problem. He helped us, but he didn't enable us. And I've thought about Mr. Corey a lot over the years. I don't know where he is or what he's doing. But thanks, Mr. Corey. You taught me some lessons and you didn't even know it. And that's the beauty of being a teacher.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. I first off want to just thank all teachers for everything you do each and every day for our kids. I just think people don't see enough of what teachers do behind the scenes and see the dedication that you have towards our kids and the profession. Mm-hmm. So looking, you know, actually my mom was one of my teachers. So I want to thank my big shout out to my mom. She was my third, fourth, and fifth grade teacher. That's right. I was homeschooled. And then also, Mr. Ventimiglia was my political science teacher in high school. And, just the way that he delivered, the political science curriculum and the way he taught, made the learning come to life for me and was an absolute blast in his class. And I enjoyed every minute of it. And I walked away with a totally different understanding of our government and how things run. So big thank you, Mr. Ventimiglia. I really appreciate everything you have done for us.
And hey, tweet us your questions at Mr. Adam Welcome or at SheERW, and we'll try to answer as many as we can on our next show.
Thank you so much for listening. If you like what you're hearing on our podcast, we'd appreciate you giving us a review and subscribing.